Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Bible study Wednesday, October the 31st in the year of our Lord, 2018. It's not only the day of the Reformation, but this coming Sunday is All Saints Day. And so what we're going to be taking a look at is a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. And for those congregations who are studying with me this morning, I'll give you a little bit of time to look up that passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Thessalonians comes after Colossians in the New Testament. It's a letter of Paul to the church at Thessalonica. I got one housekeeping task. Being the day of the Reformation, I know a lot of churches celebrated that last Sunday, but every now and then we have what's called a circuit gathering. That means a number of congregations, and I'll be preaching tonight at 7 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church in Beardstown, Illinois. Beardstown, Illinois is a little bit near Springfield, Illinois, about an hour away. And we're looking forward to that at 7 o'clock. And I understand there'll be a little meal afterwards. And I'm bringing a handout that I think people will find very interesting as we kind of go through the sermon. But right now, without further ado, let's do the Bible study. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Now, why did I kind of decide that? Well, in the Reformation, one of the things that Luther finally found out from the Bible that was non-existent was purgatory. A lot of people had the idea in the Roman Catholic Church that when you die, you go to purgatory to help pay off for your temporal sins. And I'll tell you, there was a really good law, well, I was going to say Law and Gospel, it's actually Issues, etc., talking yesterday about a Roman Catholic who became a Lutheran pastor. And one of the things that really frightened him in the Roman Catholic Church was there was no assurance of salvation, that even if you went to purgatory, you would finally be saved, but were your works good enough even to get you to purgatory? So, we don't believe that when you die, you go to purgatory. And on All Saints Day, there's a lot of people who believe in what's called the rapture in a false sense, that Jesus is coming back for 1,000 years reign here on earth, and that there's going to be an occasion after that when people will be able to go to heaven. Well, we're taking a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. So without further ado, let's start. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. That is a verse that I've used a lot of times in a funeral, because notice very carefully, who are we talking about? We're talking about those who are asleep. Now, that term asleep actually refers to those who have died but are Christians. The pagan world does not know God, so they have no real hope. And one of the big things about the Reformation and All Saints Day is we have a sure hope that we are saved. Take a look at a lot of other religions and see if you find Bible verses in their Bible, whatever books they use, the Quran, etc., for the assurance of salvation. No, you don't find it. And I'll tell you why. Because all of their assurances have to deal with how well you have behaved here on earth. How good are your works? Whereas in Christianity, the assurance is based on a promise from God in regard to baptism, for example. If you have been baptized, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will be saved. Our assurance, therefore, is not something that we look within ourselves, but instead look to the promises of God. And that's why, yes, we grieve when we lose a lost one, but we don't grieve as others who do not have any hope. Why is that? Verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Now, what is that talking about? It's talking about Judgment Day, that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep, namely those who are buried in the ground. Now, there's some people who think that at the rapture, Christians will go up to heaven and the world will keep on going. Is that true? No. That's not true at all. All you have to do is look at Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. Both go to be resurrected on the last day of judgment. The sheep to heaven, the goats to hell. That's the same day. So Paul continues in verse 15. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord. So this is something that Paul got from the Lord himself. There's two interpretations of that. One of them is that while Jesus was here on earth, he talked about that. And the other one is, remember, Paul learned a lot in the vision from God after his conversion. He was in the wilderness for some time, and perhaps that's where he heard this. But at any rate, it's very clear that from a word from the Lord, he's going to say the following, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now, I think the King James uses the word will not prevent those. But what was he talking about? Precede is a much better translation. That, let's say Judgment Day comes today at 4 o'clock. Well, there will be many of us who are still alive here on the earth. But we will not go ahead of those who are in the grave into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, when we're talking about in the grave, we're talking about their bodies because their spirits are already with Jesus. So Paul describes what's going to happen with verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. So, on this day of judgment, if there's a chronological distinction, the dead in Christ, which means their bodies, will rise first. But guess what happens right at the same time, verse 17? Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, we will always be with the Lord. That's a very important point, that in the Latin translation, the Vulgate, it uses the word rapture or raptus in the Latin, from which the modern false doctrine of a rapture gets its name. But Paul's teaching is about the resurrection and not about a private return to Christ. One of the church fathers, his name is Chrysostom. When they see the earth agitated, the dust mingling, the bodies rising, perchance on every side, no one causing this, but the shout being sufficient when they see so great a tumult upon the earth, then they shall know. And you see, this is really important. It kind of reminds us of Mount Sinai with all the noise. And there are a number of times when trumpets are sounded to announce God's action at work. And this is certainly one of them. This is the last day of the Lord. And there's one goal in all biblical language, and that is to comfort you. So look at verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So those who are asleep definitely refers to believers, because they fall asleep in Jesus. They don't die. As Jesus said to Mary and Martha, he who believes in me shall never die, because their spirit has immediately gone to be with Jesus. So their bodies are asleep. Now, there's a number of people who have different views of that. Even Luther, he had some change of minds. One was that he believed when you go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning, you can't remember all the time you were sleeping. For some reason, last night, I woke up at 1:30. And I felt it was like 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock, because that's when I usually start waking up to get up. But it was 1:30. And after I went back to sleep, all of a sudden, it was almost, well, it was past 7:30. And I don't remember any of that time between 1:30 and 7:30. Had a good sleep. But asleep in Jesus, that's one view. The other view is that, no, the believers are in heaven with Jesus in the Spirit, and there are occasions there where they're wondering how long will it be until judgment day and this sort of thing. But it's not that clear in the Scripture what your state of being is during the time of the interim. Interim means in between, the time between the moment you die here on earth and the moment judgment day comes. At any rate, you have nothing to fear, because though the dead in Christ will be first raised from the dead, you will be also raised immediately, which means when you are raised to the clouds, you will be having your new body, because that's what happens with those who have died and are in the grave, or maybe they have been burnt alive, or whatever reason, they may have been eaten by animals or in the sea. God will recreate that body. Now, chapter 5 is interesting. Concerning the times and the seasons, brothers. So this shows that Paul is definitely writing to Christians, since he refers to them as brothers. You have no need to have anything written to you. Why? Well, because the preaching had already come to the church at Thessalonica. He says, you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, this is really important to understand, because you know, there have been some religions that actually set aside a day when the Lord is going to return. Let's say they decide it's going to be February the 9th, 2019. What always surprises me is people start selling their possessions. Well, why are they selling what they own? If the day of the Lord is coming, that's the end of this world. And everybody is going to be in the clouds, as Matthew 25 says, with those on his right, the sheep, they go to heaven, and those on the left, the goats, will not go to heaven. But he's going to come as a thief in the night, and you're not going to be aware when this is coming. In fact, people will be saying, there is peace and security. Then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman and they will not escape. So there are a lot of people, we call them horizontals, who have no vertical relationship with Jesus Christ. Their whole life is infatuated with their experience, their environment, what goes on here on earth. They have no need to listen to God because there is no true vertical relationship. And that's why you have all kinds of immorality going on today, because they don't have a relationship with the God who makes clear how to live a proper life here on earth. They look at the commandments as a way of binding you to something they don't agree to, and therefore they disagree with the commandments, set up their own commandments, and then guess what happens? Judgment Day is coming like a thief in the night. They think everything is going okay, and they will not escape. But to the Christians, Paul says, "But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief." Well, why is that? Because the Christian has an attitude that regardless of the time, Judgment Day could come. I've often said, and I remember talking to Mark Smith about this, that the Lord could come before we finish our broadcast, or it might be another million years. And Pastor Smith said, "Oh, no, I don't think it's going to be that long." Well, that's actually a good attitude to have. Because if you think it's going to be a million years, then you're not going to really be prepared for it if it comes immediately. But how are you prepared? You're not prepared in the sense that you're looking for it to happen for sure right now, but through faith, you know the promises that nothing will disturb you, even on that last day of judgment, as you enter into the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. So you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you. When Judgment Day comes, the Christian, finally, it's here. Referring to the Christians again, verse 5. "For you are all children of light, children of the day." Now, what did Jesus say? "I am the light of the world." We're children of the light through faith in Jesus Christ. Others remain in darkness. And remember, it even talked about the darkness for those who do not believe. Verse 4, "But you are not in darkness, brothers. Instead, you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." I don't know if you've ever been alone in a dark room and you're not sure where the chairs are or the tables, and you're not sure. You're waiting for somebody to turn on a light, or you're groping for the light. So we are not of the night or of the darkness. We're of the light. "So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober." Now here the word "sleep" is referring to the idea that you're just ignoring the word of the Lord. You're asleep at the switch, so to speak, as others do. But be awake. Being sober doesn't mean that you're not drinking wine or things like that, or is not referring to the opposite of being drunk, but being sober-minded about the word of the Lord. You've heard the word of the Lord, and you know, therefore, that you are comforted not by your works, but by the promises of God. Probably nothing is more important here than remembering that the children of the light trust the promises of God. And so, although this is hard to understand, when Judgment Day does come, we who are Christians will not be surprised at it. We'll be looking forward to it. And therefore, that is how we are awake and sober. "For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Now, how are you sober? I've already mentioned it, through the promises. Well, Paul in verse 8 says you're sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So we're equipped not to be afraid of the day of judgment because we have faith. And faith is a promise given by God that we therefore trust. Why does faith comfort us? Verse 9. God has not destined us for wrath, but instead to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is really important. We feel we're destined to wrath. I was watching a comic show recently, and the one individual was doing something nice for his daughter. And the other individual, his son-in-law, said, "Boy, you have a special place in heaven." And then before long, he was saying, "No, I don't think I have a ghost of a chance of getting to heaven because of all the bad things I have done." This is just the way human beings who do not have a vertical relationship with Jesus Christ think. They think they're lost. But this says that you will obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. See, even if judgment day comes at a moment when you're asleep in bed during the night, you don't have any fear because you're living with him. In fact, one can say that he lives within you. Your new man is Jesus within you, motivated by the Holy Spirit to not only trust the words and promises of God, but specifically to realize that his promises are sure and you can be comforted. All this is done to comfort you, which is the way we'll look at the last verse we're going to be examining, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So the church at Thessalonica, they already knew, as verse 2 showed, that you are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And in contrast to the goats who think, well, I'm having a pretty good life here. I don't have anything to worry about. It will come at a time when they're not prepared. But when that time comes and the trumpet sounds and Jesus appears, the believers in Christ, those who are awake, those who have faith in Jesus, will not be surprised. It is a wonderful passage to show a number of things, including not only that that day of judgment will come at a time when least expected, but it will be a time when we will be comforted, and by telling others about what God has promised, we can encourage one another and build one another up. That is the purpose of the Christian faith. I'm Tom Baker. You've been listening to the Bible study for this week, where we took a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, through chapter 5, verse 11. A reminder on this coming All Saints Day that those who are trusting in Jesus and have fallen asleep are safe in the hands of Jesus. We will be seeing them soon again. Tomorrow, Open Mic Friday, you can ask, I'm sorry, tomorrow's Rumination Thursday with Wes Reimnitz. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.